discussion with a gun to your head. Let your voice be your weapon. Let your shield be your words. Let there be no confusion.
Podcast listeners and I don't know, just podcast listeners, I guess. Welcome to the Plex. We do the show live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific, live on Twitch. That's at twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Head on over to Twitch and follow our channel. You missed the whole upfront hour of this show, and you're going to miss the post game if you just listen to this on your podcatcher. So make sure you watch live. Can't do that? You can always go to patreon.com/echoplex, sign up at the $5 level. And you'll get this, the whole show, the straight audio capture sent directly to your inbox. Also, you can email me. I'm not really paywalling over some $5 in MP3. If you really want the MP3 of the whole fucking show, just email me. I'll send it to you right away. That's it. This is what the people want.
I don't hate the cops. There's a person inside when the truncheon stops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Oh, when the raiders come, who will protect the shops? Don't hate the cops. They're a sensitive bunch. If you don't stop throwing your rocks, snap, crackle, pop is the sound of a taser. Your body drops. Don't hate the cops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops. Oh, don't hate the cops. Thank your local police, cause they don't do nothing wrong. Thank your local police. Got rid of the corruption and the racism is gone. They've been keeping the peace, keeping homeless folks out of the parks and malls. Got a cure for your social disease. Follow the law, don't hate the cops. 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 Put your hands up above your head and show your if you didn't hate the cops. Because they don't do nothing wrong. Don't hate the cops. You can't blame them for just doing their job. Don't hate the cops. Well, you gotta wonder how much would it cost for you to be shot at and stabbed at by maniacs and drunks. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops.
All right, topping our news this week, sent to us by Justin Freak, and everybody check out the Troll Patrol, Justin Freak, and here on Twitch. This is the best news we've had in a long time. Benjamin Martin, if y'all remember, some of you, the media wench had him on to speak to him. It didn't go well. He came off looking like an idiot, and then he started taking calls on his show, so I called, Justin called again, and then the dude stopped taking calls and stopped doing his live show entirely. Well, that same guy stormed the Capitol on the 6th, and, well, the best news we could have got about him is about to be given to you by the local, looks like the CBS affiliate, out of Fresno, California.
A vocal anti-mask protester from Fresno is now facing charges for his role in the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol building.
New documents from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia allege Benjamin Martin entered the building along with the crowd. CBS 47's A.J. Cotto joins us live in studio with details on the charges he's now facing. AJ.
Catherine, Martin now faces 6 charges. The criminal complaint outlines his alleged actions and shares pictures taken that day.
Surveillance video taken at the Capitol January
6th
shows the insurrection in progress. Benjamin Martin, an outspoken Valley activist, now faces charges for his alleged role. The criminal complaint from the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia lists 6 offenses: entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building, obstructing law enforcement during civil disorder, and obstructing or impeding an official proceeding. Martin has been outspoken about the pandemic mask mandate, rallying.
Dude, we've watched all these videos they're showing.
You're worthless. You don't get your job right. You're a horrible person.
And clashed with.
Yep, we watched that.
Arias in April when he spotted him in Paso Robles.
This guy abuses his power. This guy is ruining the Fresno school system.
The complaint states an anonymous tipster identified Martin. It goes on to say agents identified a person who appears to be Martin walking into the U.S. Capitol at approximately 3:10 p.m. Martin is observed with a beard, wearing a dark-colored puffer jacket, dark-colored pants, and a red hat. The complaint also quotes Martin speaking to a news outlet saying he tried to calm the crowd and was in the building but did not intend to be. I was trying to negotiate with both sides to de-escalate.
No, he wasn't.
I was literally in the middle of the front door when the herd behind me. There were thousands of them. All this weight of people starts moving you in a direction. I couldn't control the direction of anything.
Bullshit.
And the complaint states the tipster knew Martin since high school, but no longer followed him on Facebook because of his political views. He or she contacted the FBI the day after the insurrection. Reporting live in studio.
One of his friends fucking contacted the FBI. Yo, that's such great news. That's such great news. First thing we did was we shut down his live show, and he just stopped doing his live show because fucking Justin Freakin basically kept calling him and pissing him off. And now he's under investigation for one of those things. Shouldn't be a crime, by the way. I don't think demonstrating inside a government building in and of itself should be a crime. And when they said trying to stop an official proceeding, they were kind of soft selling what the people there were doing. But that's great news. See, it's not all doom and gloom around here. Sometimes a fucking harmless end user terrorist gets what they deserve, and we're here for it. Speaking of harmless and, well, maybe not so harmless. Maybe harmless is the wrong word there. Speaking of end user terrorism, the Q shaman was sentenced, and his lawyer is going to say the weirdest fucking thing I've ever heard a lawyer say.
And for the first time in 2020 or leading up to that election, he felt like there was a politician whose message that he heard was one that he felt was spoken to him. He had a fondness for Trump that was not unlike the first love a man may have for a girl, or a girl for a man, or a man for a man. The first love.
What the fuck?
Always, always maintains a tender and soft spot in the heart of the lover.
What and the fuck the kind of lawyer is this?
What made it so difficult was that not only was he predisposed to being vulnerable, but he was socially isolated because of his mental health issue that rendered him kind of an unwanted youth. He was picked on as a kid. He was beaten by his father or stepfather. His dad was in jail his entire life. And you have these series of events and characteristics that made him really ripe for the picking. And all of a sudden he found social media, and social media became became his playground. And through social media, he got exposed to a lot of things that resonated with him. He felt like Trump was picked on like he had been picked on. And so as a result, he became not only enamored with Trump, he became enamored with the social media community. And then in turn, the community that he interacted with at one rally after another over the course of years.
Okay, so this was after the guilty plea. I think I had said sentencing. Thank you, Ali Drew. I love it when people correct me in chat, because I don't know everything. Other people think, oh, you're arguing with me. I'm like, fuck, thank you for correcting me. So yeah, that was after after the guilty plea or whatever. I don't know why the lawyer, why would you go say that? He's like, oh, my client was in a cult. The other thing, that dude was soft-pedaling something really important. The Q shaman radicalized tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. He wasn't the end of the fucking snake. He was like the head of the snake or whatever. I don't know how to explain it. He wasn't a node. He was like the server. He was the thing spreading QAnon misinformation. He was the recipient of it at some point. But people, we always talk about this when we're talking about conspiracy theories, right? So for a while, people were probably being victimized by a conspiracy community. But then at what point do we decide that maybe that person's no longer the victim? And my thing would be as soon as they get their first 1,000 followers, right? As soon as they're radicalizing other people, now they ain't the victim no more. So in a bit more Schadenfreude, just one more Schadenfreude this week, we got a Alex Berenson got kicked off of Twitter for spreading medical misinformation, primarily about ivermectin. This guy's a big fan of Brett and Heather. And where does he go? Where does he go running? Well, he goes running to Tucker, of course.
To fight battles in court in California, and we'll see if that works to their advantage or not. And then I think there's a separate issue here, which is that Twitter has defamed me. Twitter has said that my information is inaccurate. And, you know, as a result, everybody from Vice to other places.
Wait a minute. Saying that I think, okay, defamation, especially with the United States First Amendment, that's a tough egg to crack. That's a tough thing to prove. I don't know all of the things, but I know one, the person has to know they're lying. You have to be able to provide, to show damages. And I forget there's another one too. And it's like, those are like, that first one's just a tough hill to climb because you're trying to read somebody's mind and show intent. They removed you for spreading medical misinformation, dude. Add me to your list of people you're suing. Fuck you.
You know, they say terrible things about me, and they say I'm disgraced, or that I, you know, yes, that I'm putting out false information.
Yes.
Twitter is not just one voice on its site. Obviously, Twitter is the operator of its own site, and it has a special responsibility not to defame users of the site. So,
no,
you know, it's not just
no, it
that
doesn't.
I have a right to.
They don't have. There's nothing legal. We all for defamation. In fact, because he's a public figure and was using Twitter to become popular, the bar becomes even higher for him to prove that someone did a defamed his character in the legal sense. This guy's an idiot.
To put out information right or wrong, it's that I think the information is right. So please join the movement, come to Substack, support this fight.
I hope you sue the crap out of these totalitarians. I really do. And if you do, I hope you'll come back and tell us how we can, you know, buy popcorn and watch. I really do.
I have been, it's more than that, Twitter people, Tucker, people want
to. Oh, I want this guy to get cross-examined, the deposition. If this guy sues, this guy's deposition would be fire.
Be part of this, they want to help fund this lawsuit. It's been amazing to me.
Yeah, I want to fund it. I do. I mean that. Alex Berenson, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So it turns out American citizens weren't the only thing the Biden administration left behind.
Oh, I thought he was going to say something else. Tucker's got the money to fund a lawsuit, but suing Twitter for kicking you off is stupid. That's all. That's theirs. Maybe they don't own the physical servers, but they're renting the server space, probably from AWS or whatever. Trying to sue them for that is stupid. All right, we got another fun clip. The next one is, if you're on the fence about wearing a mask and you're in Los Angeles and you maybe spend time, you know, out and about, here's a great reason to wear the mask.
Oh, one policy that David and I did institute over the last couple of weeks since we've been back is when we're walking Clyde, I will say hello and smile and say how you doing to every single neighbor that is not wearing a mask. But I've decided I'm not saying hello to the mask people anymore. And the reason for that is what I've realized over the last couple of weeks is that the mask people are not friendly as a general rule. And of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. But the mask people I would say hi to and they just ignore you. They're actually using it as an excuse to never be human anymore.
What the fuck?
I have found is the non-mask people tend to be friendlier and nicer and happier. So I...
What, the dumbest, most annoying person in my neighborhood isn't going to bother me if I wear a mask? I'll wear three.
That's what I mean about we're just going to further split into two worlds. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay. Because the world that I'm going to help build and that I'm going to talk about and that you guys are going to be part of is going to be a world that's based on the ideas that we're always talking about here, right? And maybe it feels a little like a civil war. It's not fun to talk about. But at this point, this gets me back to...
I'm having fun right now.
I just don't see a way around it. But that doesn't mean it has to be horrible. I don't want people fighting in the streets. And for those of us that are more freedom focused, it's trickier for us because we can build something good and they're going to still all want a piece of it, right? Where we don't really want, like, they can go build your institutions, build your crappy colleges and your stupid businesses built on diversity and build bad products and have the Emmys now and have all of that stuff. I don't want any of that stuff. I don't care about that stuff. But they're going to still want our stuff, right? Because we're going to build better products and we're going to build better businesses.
What is he talking about? He lives in Los Angeles and he's said that he's not going to leave LA because he likes LA. So he's relying on the institutions that exist in Los Angeles, be they government or private institutions, just for his livelihood and his day-to-day life and his enjoyment and his recreation and everything he does. That dude's so full of shit. He's so stupid. I don't think I've said this on the pod before. I've said this on stream, but he married a guy named Dave so he doesn't have to try to remember his husband's name. And I'm not kidding. I'm like 80% sure that's why he married the guy that he married, is so he didn't have to remember a new name. All right. Now shit's going to start to get dark. I'm sorry. Here's a local news hit out of Florida. And it's unfortunately about ivermectin.
People desperate to treat their COVID-19 symptoms are turning to a drug that is meant to kill parasites in livestock. Fox 4's Rob Manch spoke with a Lee County man who's tried it.
On Wednesday, Florida Poison Control tweeted this warning, saying it has treated 39 people in Florida for exposure to ivermectin, a horse deworming drug. Over at the Sweet Cypress Ranch feed store, owner Al Curry says he's seen a lot more people looking for it lately.
We keep it all the time and stock it, but right now we can't keep it in stock because people are buying it for other purposes. We don't promote it for that other purpose, but obviously the word's gotten out.
That other purpose is people taking it themselves in an attempt to treat their COVID-19 symptoms. Curry says he just tested positive, so he did what a lot of his customers are doing.
I have some ivermectin tubes in my truck, and I know a lot of our customers have been talking how well it worked. I took some ivermectin.
Curry says people are putting the drug into drinks to ingest it.
They mix it in like a small shot glass or something, small jigger of orange juice or something, just to carry it and swig it down.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, thousands of people are making the same decision across the country. That prompted Dr. Anthony Fauci to make this statement.
Don't do it. There's no evidence whatsoever that that works and it could potentially have toxicity.
And when I reached out to health officials here in Southwest Florida, they agreed. Not only is ivermectin untested as a treatment for COVID-19, it may be seriously dangerous to your health. The Department of Health in Lee County says there are currently insufficient data to recommend ivermectin for treatment of COVID-19. The Department of Health in Collier County says this medicine can be toxic to humans. And Lee Health Hospitals say we advise people not to do that.
But as you don't say.
For an appointment to receive monoclonal antibodies, he says he still trusts his improvised treatment.
Well, my guys all said they felt better, and I'm telling you, I felt better today after taking it.
In Lee County, Rob Manch, Fox 4.
So again, the FDA has not approved nor authorized the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19. Here's what you do need to know about the drug. According to the FDA, ivermectin tablets in topical formulations are approved to treat people with parasitic worms or head lice.
Oh, you can hear the frustration in her voice.
But they're approved at very specific doses. Ivermectin is not an antiviral medication, which means it was not made for treating viruses. The FDA also says to never use medications intended for animals on yourself. Ivermectin preparations for animals are very different from those approved for people. And if you have a prescription for ivermectin for an FDA-approved use, get it from a legitimate source and take it exactly as prescribed.
Fuck. Usually you can call Alex Jones a lot of things. Usually you can't call him late to the party. He's late to the horse pill party.
Here, people. Overhead shot, please. You know what this is? This is ivermectin for humans. It won a Nobel Prize as an antiviral.
No, not as an antiviral. As an antiparasitic.
So let me show you. I was going to do this anyways earlier. See this? See this, Fauci? You see this, Bill Gates? I'm going to kill those prions, you bastard murderers. You're going to hit me with a bioweapon, you monster. You want to suppress me? You want to kill me?
Fuck, Alex.
You goddamn demon. You think I'm easy to kill? Think I'm going to roll over to your crap?
Is that a beer?
No. And Joe Rogan kicked your murdering ass, too. You'd love to bury him, too, you little monster maggot. He's in this National Geographic piece about, oh, I don't usually deal with my enemies right away. I get them later. Yeah, you creep up on with a poison injection, dressed up in a lab coat, you little Joseph Mengele, Nuremberg Code-violating monster.
Fucking Alex monster. Jones. Late to the party, but coming in hot.
See, our little cancer proteins like that. Nobel Prize winning for humans. 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 What, 2005? Nobel Prize winning for humans. Oh, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan. He went and drank the horse paste. He's stupid. I bet he got it from Alex Jones. They're both so dumb. They're both going to be dead. Yeah, that's why Joe's worth like $300 million. Yeah, he's real stupid. That's why he lives in a $60 million house on the river. You leftists taking all the shots and dying are the dumbasses. He's the one that headlines with Dave Chappelle, not you. You're stupid.
Oh, after all this, Dave Chappelle probably ain't going to work with him no more.
But you sit there calling me stupid, an independent media person that built the biggest independent media operation in the world that changed the whole paradigm with my badass listeners, and you sit around and laugh at us? Medical doctors gave that to me. It is incredible. It helped my family. It helped me. It helped everybody. And it's approved for humans for all sorts of viral stuff. But that murderer Fauci doesn't want you to know because he wants the planet for himself and he wants you dead. Well, guess what, Fauci? We ain't rolling over and dying so easily, you little murderer.
Whoa, that was fucking hella turbo. Whoa. Clearly, like, Alex Jones is out of his mind. Ivermectin, I don't believe the drug won a Nobel Prize. I believe the team that worked on development of ivermectin won a Nobel Prize. Ivermectin is not an antiviral. It is antiparasitic. I don't know about the ivermectin Nobel Prize, but I imagine it was in relation to the drug's antiparasitic properties. And if it is prescribed to you for a parasite, as the news hit said before, take it exactly as prescribed. Don't take the horse paste. Well, we're going to call this ethics and hurricane journalism. Let's go.
The force of the storm last night is that the mail delivery has returned. We saw postal workers going out delivering mail this morning. Just a couple of minutes ago, people were walking their dogs. They're back on the beach right now. And that's the sense that you're getting, that the rain has stopped. The wind is still going there. I think we
have
a random person going around. You know, I'm going to turn this way because, you know, we deal with some people every once in a while. But, you know, one thing that we are noticing is that the mayor said the curfew is still in effect. The curfew is going to be going on for at least until a period of time in which they can go ahead and go and survey all the damage. They did get some reports of some down power lines, of some trees that have fallen, or at least limbs that have fallen. So they're going to go ahead and do that survey to make sure that they're okay. Craig, I'm going to toss it back to you because we have a person who needs a little help right now.
Hey. We're going to check in with Shaq Brewster just to make sure all is well. There's a lot of crazy out there, a lot of crazy. And Bill Kearns, thank you as well. Again, we'll make sure Shaq's okay, and we'll update you here in just a few moments.
So the reporter in that is okay. You couldn't really make out what the guy was saying, but he was basically screaming at them to cover the hurricane properly and not to do fake news, essentially, about it. I wish the reporter's tweet about that would have said, oh, he fucked around and he found out, because that would have been fun. But I imagine the reporter was able to de-escalate the situation and get out. We're just going to start seeing more and more and more of this. It's not just going to be reporters. It's not just going to be school boards. It's not going to be board of supervisors. It's just going to be any institution, any place. People are going to start going after grocery store clerks. We're going to see, as we go into the fall and winter, I think we're going to see some violence. And I think it's going to be against people who interface with the public. And I think, like, institutions like newsrooms aren't ready for it, and they shouldn't have to be. And I think police departments aren't really going to be helpful, as they often aren't. So every once in a while, you got to have someone to root for. And in this case, we're rooting for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, because they're talking to Sidney Powell.
To meet Trump loyalist Sidney Powell.
Sure. Oh, yeah. He's a big ear guy.
Let's get a few simple facts straight. In how many states were Smartmatic machines and software used in the 2020 election?
I don't even know the exact numbers.
But you were making some big statements, very dramatic, critical statements about Smartmatic. You must have known what their involvement was in the election.
Oh, you'd have to go look at our complaint against with respect to the four states that we filed legal complaints in to get the details of that.
A Google search would have shown you that Smartmatic was operating in one single county in California.
Oh, I'm saying I think their involvement's probably a lot bigger than that.
What research or fact-checking did you do at the time to find out what Smartmatic's actual involvement in the election was?
Do you work for Smartmatic?
What? You're a shill for Smartmatic, and I would say for big elections, but if they only worked in one county, that's small elections. You're like a shill for like a boutique election company.
You've made an allegation against Smartmatic that they stole a presidential election. I think it's incumbent on both of us to know what Smartmatic's involvement was. It seems like a pretty foundational fact.
I mean, I'm confused right now about why you're here.
Because you made a series of very strong allegations against Smartmatic and against Dominion, containing many errors of fact. Do you accept the fact now that the company that you accused of stealing a national election only operated in one county, in LA, in California? One county, one state.
No, I'm not prepared to accept that fact. I think Smartmatic's involvement was far more significant than that. Do I think they're trying to minimize their involvement? Of course I do.
You said that Smartmatic owns Dominion. How do you justify such a basic factual error?
I'm going to stop this interview. It's wholly inappropriate.
You should stop this interview because you're dumb as fuck. And like, the foreign press isn't the American press. They'll just tell you that what you said isn't true in Australia. They tell you that. That's and the BBC will do that too. Only fucking Anderson Cooper in America will do that, and a ton of independent people.
The litigation that we're in.
But we're
Smartmatic by Ronco.
Even in the area of great dispute, these are the simple facts of who owns what.
No, we're done. I'm sorry.
These are facts.
When we are in litigation against me personally,
I understand that, but we're
billions.
Yes, I understand that these are very serious allegations.
Thank you very much.
But these are also very basic.
So apparently, she got Powell to resume the interview.
Ms. Powell agreed to answer more questions.
But she brought a dog.
I'm highly skeptical of how long this is going to last.
Claiming her legal issues prevented her from talking about the voting machine companies, all of the organizations who had the responsibility to check the nature of this election and to verify its results, say there was no fraud.
That's the propaganda they're putting out. I disagree with that completely, and we have and will produce additional evidence that shows otherwise.
What you're describing is a massive countrywide fraud involving the FBI, the DOJ, the Department of Homeland Security, the organizations who certify elections, and on, all the way up to the Attorney General, and thousands of local election officials. Are you saying that thousands of Americans participated in a fraud?
I am saying that thousands of Americans had some role in it, knowingly or unknowingly. It was essentially a bloodless coup where they took over the presidency of the United States without a single shot being fired.
Who's they in that sentence?
I don't know who all I would really like to know the answer to that. But it's a significant number of they, and they knew exactly what they were doing, and they planned it for at least 3 years. This was no accident.
Do you ever hear yourself and think that it sounds ridiculous?
No, I know myself very well. I've been in me a long time. I know my reputation. I know my level of...
You ever listen to yourself and ask, why the fuck am I doing this? You can find that whole thing. That would be Australian Broadcasting Corporation. You can find the whole interview yourself. I only play clips. Don't want to be just completely ripping off their interview. Sometimes we have a palate cleanser. Tonight we have three. Here's the first one. Kids are going to be all right.
You guys work for us in this environment. You answer to us, and I'm asking that you do not pass this policy in Virginia.
Thank you so much, Ms. Thomas. We do appreciate you. Phil McCracken. Phil McCracken. Sulk, Suk, Mahidic. Luke Mahidic.
You hear somebody up there laughing?
Ophelia McHawk. Ophelia McHawk. Eileen Dover. Eileen Dover. Don Kiedick. Don Kiedick. Wayne Kerr. Wayne Kerr.
So that was a bunch of kids probably that sent in like Bart Simpson level fucking jokes to the Board of Supes meeting when all these people were fucking talking all this weird shit about COVID. So I'm like real glad those kids did it. And here's our second palate cleanser. Yeah, that's two. We have three tonight. It's been a rough one so far. This one's really good. This is brought to you by Fink, who runs Broad Street Beacon and Broad Street Beacon and Gish Gallop. Michael Richards in the chat also writes for them.
There, welcome to Anti-Vax Hospital.
Anti-Vax Hospital?
Yeah, the previous administrator stopped getting kickbacks from Big Pharma when everyone stopped getting the COVID jab, so they had no choice but to sell to the anti-vaxxers.
Oh, well, I'm having really bad chest pain.
Yeah, this EKG looks bad. You're having a heart attack.
Oh my god, what do we do?
Well, you're only having a heart attack because you're overweight and you eat poorly, so let's talk about diet and exercise.
But we don't have time for that. I need medicines, don't I?
No, Big Pharma wants you to think that you need medicines. It's all about lifestyle changes.
Or maybe a heart procedure?
No, at this hospital, we rely on our body's natural anticoagulating effects to unclog coronary arteries.
Does that work? It worked for my friend's uncle. I'm pretty sure I read that you can do heart procedures for heart attacks.
You probably read that on a fake news media site.
What?
Plus, these heart procedures don't always work. My niece's chemistry teacher got one and she still died from the heart attack, so they're useless.
But if you don't do anything, I could die.
It's pretty rare that you die from the actual heart attack. Usually it's from arrhythmias or ventricular rupture.
Doctors are supposed to help people.
Well, I'm not a sheep.
You'll lose your job if you let me die.
They can't fire me for that. That's discrimination.
Oh,
let's get some vitamin C over here, stat.
Oh,
he's dead. Thanks a lot, Fauci.
That was quite funny. clarification. Fink shared that. It's not Fink from the Scooper didn't make that, I don't think. Or the used to be the Scooper. Fink from Gish Gallop didn't make that. And here's the third palate cleanser. This one is my personal favorite for the week. Not COVID related.
Recipes for cookies.
Cookies.com.
Cookies.com values your privacy.
Okay
isn't an option.
I just want to make cookies.
Your options are learn more, manage preferences, accept and save, accept but don't save, agree and save but don't accept, agree and exit, disagree and exit, disagree but only partly exit while saving some preferences you haven't managed to accept.
Learn more.
Cookies are a way for us to analyze your data so it can be shared with third parties and also around Hard Biscuit.
Who are the third parties?
250 subsidiaries of the Russian government.
Decline.
You can't decline that.
Why?
Well, then we won't be able to analyze your data.
But I don't want you to.
We have to a bit.
Why?
So we can serve you relevant adverts like this and this and this.
Quite interested in the large French horn.
While selling that data to third parties.
Oh, no, decline.
I thought you wanted the horn.
Okay, you know what? I just want to decline everything except the strictly necessary cookies.
You also can't decline the mandatory cookies, the compulsory cookies, or the cookies of great mystery.
What do they do? I want to decline everything that's declinable.
Done.
Thank you.
Accept all and save?
Yes. No! What does accept all mean?
Accept all.
But I told you to decline some of them.
There was also save and exit, which would have saved what you'd previously done.
Could I go back and change it?
Yes, but I can't tell you how.
Why not?
Because then you'd do it.
You know what? I don't care. Spy on me. I just want to bake a cookie.
Thank you for your preferences.
You're welcome.
I thought that was pretty well done. Pretty funny. All right. So those were our three palate cleansers. I hope everybody feels just the tiniest bit better. So as you know, or as maybe you don't know, I don't know. I don't know what you know and what you don't know. People are making fake vaccine cards. And here's our good friend Tucker Carlson with a My Body, My Choice segment about fake vaccines cards, which is going to be wonderful, I'm sure.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you. Thanks, Tucker.
Well, the Biden administration is currently allowing hundreds of thousands of foreign nationals to enter this country illegally from all over the world. We have no idea who most of these people are. It's possible we never will know. Illegal migrants routinely steal Social Security numbers to qualify for jobs, and no one in authority does a thing about this. When was the last time you heard the feds arrested a bunch of illegals for fake documents in a workplace raid? You don't hear it. It doesn't happen. It happens about as often as they check your ID at the polls in New York, which is to say just about never. So with that in mind, it was interesting to see this week's big announcement from the District Attorney of New York City, Cyrus Vance. Vance has just charged 13 Americans with felonies for buying fake vaccination cards. Several of the suspects, according to prosecutors, were healthcare workers who've been told by the state they'll be fired unless they get the shot. So politicians telling doctors and nurses what medicine to take. That's exactly what they told us they were against for decades. Again, these are healthcare workers. They know the science of COVID far better than politicians, governors, prosecutors. So in
Wait a minute. Just because you're a healthcare worker doesn't mean that you're a virologist. That's incorrect. It's just fucking false. It's the appeal to authority, and it's not even the authority on these matters.
They've risked their careers to preserve their right to bodily autonomy, and now they're in jail for that. Now, these arrests will be used to justify digital health passports for the entire American population. That is true. Save this tape. In fact, Cyrus Vance has already enlisted big tech to help root out the disobedient in New York. Quote, "We need companies like Facebook to take action to prevent the fraud happening on their platform," Vance said.
What the person was probably saying, hey, there's ads for fake vaccine cards on Facebook. Maybe they should do something about it. I haven't seen one myself, but if I was a betting man, I'd say there are ads for fake vaccine cards being served right now on Facebook.
Said, making, selling, and purchasing forged vaccination cards are serious crimes with serious public safety consequences. End quote. Except that's a lie. buying a fake vaccination card is not a, quote, serious crime. It's not even close to a serious crime.
Wait a minute. No, you're participating in the forgery of an official government document. Yeah, that's a serious crime. Whether you think this is a big deal or not, maybe people have different, you know, maybe I think it's 7 and you think it's 5 and somebody else thinks it's a 6, somebody thinks it's a 4. Like, we could maybe have that discussion. How serious is it in the grand scheme of things? But it's, yeah, you're forging a government document.
Buying a fake vaccination card is an act of desperation by decent law-abiding Americans who have been forced.
No, you're no longer law-abiding as soon as you participate in forgery of a federal document. You're at that moment not obeying the law.
Into a corner by tyrants. You know what's a serious crime? Forcing Americans to take drugs they don't need or want. That's a very serious crime. And let's hope in the end someone is punished for it severely.
Ooh.
So it turns out if you vote for the wrong people, you no longer get...
Ooh. So he didn't encourage it, but he said it wasn't a crime. And I'm telling you that it is. Also, somebody said forging medical records is also a crime. These people love to talk about the fucking HIPAA laws. I'd be willing to bet there's serious fucking punishments in the language of the laws for HIPAA about forgery of medical documents. You're not only you're forging a government document and you're forging medical documents. It's probably two fucking felonies right there. And my thing is, he like glossed over the thing about social media. Well, I think what the person was doing who he quoted was like begging these companies to take down ads, or maybe not paid ads, but people advertising, marketing their fake vaccine cards on Facebook and shit. I guarantee that's what they were talking about. Well, we're not quite done with the Tucker segment of the show, unfortunately. This is, somebody had mentioned replacement theory. Here you go.
There are Afghans that should be able to come into our country. I've talked to servicemen in my district who said there are people that should be able to come from Afghanistan mm-hmm. because they've given their, some of them have given their, almost their lives being threatened by the Taliban. Yep. And they should be able to come to the United States. However, these people are not being vetted thoroughly. And what should happen is they should go to a third, a safe third country like Qatar, someplace like that, and be vetted there. And then if they get through the vetting, they should be able to come in. Because 84% of the people that in the first quarter of this year that tried to get an SIV in Afghanistan, they were rejected. Only 16% were able to get in. There has to be a thorough vetting process. The Biden administration is circumventing it.
Yeah, they're just using a crisis to change our country. They'll never lose another election. That's the point, as you know. Congressman, thanks so much. I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Just all nonchalant and matter of fact at the end, dropping that great replacement theory. He's like, oh, they're important, these Afghans, so they get Democrat votes. How the fuck do you know who these people are going to vote for? If half of people don't even vote anyway. All right. Y'all remember Lynn Wood? I don't think Lynn Wood remembers Lynn Wood. Watch what he fucking says here. This is... Try to make sense of this.
Stop going to Walmart. Stop going to Target. Stop buying the foods that they have been producing for years with fetal tissue parts to kill you.
What?
John D. Rockefeller was a devil worshiper. Part of the Illuminati. Was a devil worshiper. Part of the Illuminati. You heard Jaron Jackson say it. Boy, oh boy, it drives them wild when somebody gets out in public and says, the Illuminati, do the research, connect the dots. The Illuminati is real. And they're devil worshipers.
That's Lynn Wood. One of the big lie spreaders. QAnon adjacent. I don't even know. Like QAnon's gone. Or as a coherent movement, QAnon is gone. As we've seen, it's not gone. Its tentacles are in every other fucking conspiracy movement happening right now. But yeah, that was, I fucking, the guy's lost, he's lost his own plot, and his own plot was crazy to begin with. Here's Madison Cawthorn. Just going to say that if people don't listen to, if the elected officials don't listen to demands about election security, there's going to be bloodshed.
Everything that we're sitting here talking about, we're all so passionate right now. The things that we are wanting to fight for, it doesn't matter if our votes don't count.
That's exactly right.
Because, you know, if our election systems continue to be rigged and continue to be stolen, then it's going to lead to one place, and it's bloodshed.
Right.
And I will tell you, as much as I'm willing to defend our liberty at all costs, there's nothing that I would dread doing more than having to pick up arms against a fellow American.
Well, then stop inciting it.
Is if we all passionately demand that we have election security in all 50 states.
He's inciting violence there. He's not telling people to do a specific thing. It's stochastic terrorism, where if you keep putting violent rhetoric out enough, eventually some motherfucker is going to go potato, and what you said is going to be a contributing factor to why they did it. Well, here's Jesse Lee Peterson. You know what's wrong with all of our institutions? Is sometimes there's smart people working there.
And the country is getting worse because we have turned it over to the intellectuals. And they have no insight, no idea. It's just a mess. Everything they do is wrong because they cannot see what they're doing. This is why I'm telling you over and over and over again, save your money. It's the waste of time to go to a university. It's only build the ego. It makes you think.
That's why I went. Well, you know what the problem with America is that sometimes we put smart people in charge of things, and that fucks everything up. I don't even know what to say about this guy. Honestly, like, this guy is, like, not, like, this guy used to be one of the craziest people we watched. Not anymore. Dude's like a fucking footnote in the podcast, right? That wasn't shit. The whole first hour of the show that doesn't even go out on the podcast was a thousand times crazier than what the fuck Jesse Lee Peterson was just saying. All right, here's Mike Lindell. He is going to say some nasty things about Zachary Patrizio of Salon. Zachary Patrizio does good work, and he's fucking adorable. I will stand Zachary Patrizio any day.
Activity he did at the symposium. He's tied now to Antifa and Josh.
Alleged criminal activity.
What? Alleged criminal activity. He uses alleged, so we'll use that for Zachary. I'm going to spend a lot more money, Zachary. I'm not out of money, contrary to your little thing. We are going after this kid. He is, you know, he's obviously getting money.
Kid, he's like 29 or 30 or something.
Investigate that him, Rick investigated. He did his own internal investigation. You know, Zachary's an enemy. It's Patrizio. He's an enemy of our country.
He just fucking reports on your crazy ass for Salon. I mean, he's obviously got a political leaning, but holy shit. All right. We got 10 minutes left on the podcast. We're going to do the lightning round. We'll get three more in before we get into red light. And I got some crazy shit for red light too, including a Madison Star Moon. Been a while since our friend Maddie made a video. There's a lot of dumb shit in the fucking red light this evening. Chris Farley would do it. Oh my God, Chris Farley would do the best of my pillow. That's a good fucking point. Anyway, Coach Dave is back in the news. You remember Dave Dobenmeyer? Wears this creepy, I call it like a Christian nationalist hat or whatever. Well, here's him talking about how he's going to raise $100 million for a culture war. Shout out to Right Wing Watch.
This isn't some fly-by-night, flimsy little thing we're doing, okay? This is big. And one of the directions we're going to go as well is we're going to find out everybody that gave money to BLM. Every major business donor that gave money to BLM. And we're going to go ask them about their Office of Diversity. Aren't Christians diverse? You're giving money to BLM? Are you giving any money to any Christian causes? Are you guys anti-Christ? Aren't Christians part of the diversity plan and the diversity movement? We're going to badger those folks into funding our war as well.
Like almost any group you get to in America, except like atheists or specifically non-believer groups, a lot of them fucking people are going to be Christians no matter what it is. Because like the plurality, I think, non-believers, I think just passed Christianity as plurality. But there's still going to be a ton of fucking Christians in like any group.
That's our plan. We're going to put this money in the hands of warriors. And I'm believing that 30 days from today, we're going to have $100 million. The left will never know what hit him.
Right, but if this guy has $100 million, he's just going to pocket it. This guy's a con artist. He's not going to even do the thing he's talking about. He fucking, based on what he said, I don't think he understands the thing. He's like, you need to give us $100 million and then we need to go ask these people if they've donated to Christians. Okay, then what, Dave? You going to bring the zip ties? Like, what are you going to do, Dave? Fuck Dave Dobenmeyer. The media once fired him in 2020. Hasn't fired him yet in 2021, though, but that's just because he hasn't been on the docket much. Hasn't made our radar because the crazy has been ramped up so high that she hasn't had a chance to fire him. She's not here tonight, so he's not fired. Another clip from Right Wing Watch here. This is Kat Kerr. First time we ever played a clip of Kat Kerr. She was telling people not to leave because a hurricane was coming. She was saying if a flood happens, if you stomp on the ground, the water will go down. And that's the advice she gave to her followers to deal with a hurricane. Seems legitimate. Now here's her talking about who the legitimate president of the United States is. This is some pretty hard cope here, everybody. Hard cope.
This country, hello, we have someone who's truly in charge, who is not the one who's sitting there now.
Right.
Our president is legitimate, and his name is Donald Trump. I'm just going to say it, and they're going to find out anyway. Just like God said, he will do with him what he wants to do. The other ones are illegitimate, and this is a crazy thing. 100 million people know it, and you can't come and take a country away from people who aren't participating.
Yeah.
They are not participating. They don't like anything that's being said. They're not a part of it. So people can't judge America. America has not fallen. America is not wicked. Okay. It's the people who are trying to be in charge. We the people.
She's wearing a Space Force logo.
And most of them born again.
Commander Cat. What the fuck is this?
Don't want what's happening.
Wait, what's up with her outfit? I know this is like we're recording an audio podcast, but maybe go check out the Twitch replay or whatever. Why is she wearing a Commander Cat outfit?
For it, we didn't vote for it, people. And guess what? God is going to do something about it.
She cray. But again, like fucking on the scale of, you know, 1 to 10 or whatever, she's like a 5 now. She used to be like a 9. She's a 5 now. She's not even close to the most batshit person we talk about these days. She's like not, she like isn't gaining traction. She didn't jump on board with the QAnon mania. Like, but she's interesting. She's fun. She'll say something wacky about the weather probably soon. That's my favorite. She's called herself the weather warrior, Kat Kerr. And she never talked about chemtrails, which was disappointing. But again, she had sage advice. Like if you stomp on the ground, the water will go down. So thanks everybody for checking out the podcast. We do have one more clip. This is kicking it a little old school for the Plex. We haven't had him on in a while. This is a Mark Taylor, firefighter prophet, Mark Taylor. Famous for saying frequencies about 35 times in a 7-minute clip on like episode 12 or 14 or some shit, the Plex. It was hilarious. We were dying. So here's the firefighter prophet, Mark Taylor. And it's the same old shit. The Biden administration is about to be arrested and charged with treason.
We have got to stand up to this stuff. This is a genocide that is taking place right now, Paul.
Yeah.
And where is the church? Where's the prophets?
Yeah.
Where are they? Because the fact of the matter is this is going to go down as one of the biggest genocides in world history right now. And only we can stop it. We the people can stop it. Again, the faster we rise up and do something, the faster this stuff will be over.
No.
Look, I'm sick and tired of hearing Joe Biden impeach Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You and I both know this is going to be nothing, okay, in an impeachment, just like it was with Clinton. I'm tired of hearing about the 25th Amendment. Look, I want him, his administration, Milley, and these other generals that are responsible for Afghanistan, they need to be arrested and charged with treason.
Yes.
Period.
Yo, no. Mark Taylor's fucking crazy. I don't know what he was doing on hiatus, maybe dodging child support or something. Who knows? But he was a big QAnon person. I think he just got deplatformed from a bunch of stuff and then didn't know how to get on things. I think the last time we played a clip with him of him was probably maybe a year ago. Mark Taylor's out of his damn mind, and I'm glad that he's largely out of the scene. The people that replaced him are crazier. Anyway, we've seen some things this evening, everyone. Thanks to everybody in the chat. It's been lively. I appreciate it. Thanks to the couple follows we got during the show. We got Tofu Wit and what is it? Jan Boda, thank you for the follows. And podcast listeners, make sure to follow this podcast, but also make sure to head on over to twitch.tv/echoplexmedia and follow us there, because you missed the upfront hour of this show if you're just listening to the podcast, and you're missing the post game, which people are going to stick around for. Oh, Exotic Lunchbox just gifted a bunch of subs so you can see things like Tom Cruise zapping Oprah on a couch during an interview when people spend their money here. Thanks, Exotic Lunchbox. Anyway, podcast listeners, thank you so much. Everybody live, just hang out. We're coming back for the post game. Just going to turn all the lights red here, grab myself a cocktail, open up the windows, you know, do the things that we do here for the post game. I'm going to play, well, obviously, we're going to play Boomers. This is by Periscope. This has been an anthem around here. And just a quick note for everybody, there's a new Ruffies album coming out, and we're going to have it pretty soon.